This is Sunday morning, the September 9, 2019. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And the title of this is called Secure the Perimeter. Satan is a terrorist, and he stages his false flag events to cause fear, chaos, and unrest. He wants the people of Odessa, since what happened last Saturday, to cringe in their homes. He would have you afraid to leave your house or go about your business. This is how he has taken so much ground in the past. But now is the time for the church to arise and put the devil back under our feet. Send in the SWAT teams, the spiritual warrior assault teams. This would be your words and our helpers, the angelic beings. Send in the SWAT teams to with angelic assignments. Your words and the angels, which, okay, we're going to read a couple scriptures on angels. Psalms 103:20. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and destruction. I'm reading the wrong thing, just a minute. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So when we speak God's word, the angels, we put angels on assignment. Or we speak things in line with God's will. We can send them to do assignments. Okay, Hebrews 1:14. There are helpers. Are not the angels all ministering spirits sent out in the service of those who are to inherit salvation? So they're there to help us. They go with us everywhere we go. I talk to my angels and I give them things to do at times. Now they don't vacuum, and you know what I'm saying? When I go in places, I have one of them watch my car, but I have them. The Lord spoke to me this week and said, before you go anywhere or do anything, set your perimeters. Speak ahead. Send your angels ahead. And if we will do this around our city, we won't have any more of these false flags. Go set the perimeter and forbid, bind and loose. Forbid them to have any place here. The Lord's been speaking to me for a few weeks now about give him no room. We must activate them to do God's will. This is by our words. Wherever you go, take authority over the area so the devil cannot manifest. Make no room for him anywhere. Do a Maxine Waters, but for good. She said about conservatives, you get in their face, you push back on them, and you let them know they're not wanted anywhere. Well, ditto, Miss Maxine Waters. But we're doing it for the kingdom of God. The devil's not wanted anywhere. We don't want him here. Don't give him any room. Ephesians 4:27 exactly says that. Let's look at that. It's our fault he has room. Oh, I want the church to get this. I said, Lord, I'm so ready. We need masses hearing this. We need masses getting up off their little tushies and getting things done. Start speaking, using their mouths for something other than cursing. 4:27. Leave no room or foothold for the devil. It says, let the thief steal no more. Give him no room. Push him out of everything in your life, in your city, in your nation. Confess this with me. There will be no more of Satan's false flag events
in
the United States of America, in Jesus' name. There will be no more of Satan's killer storms in the United States of America, in Jesus' name. It is time for the sons of God to manifest. All right, look at Romans 8. Verse 19. You know what? And when it's going to all stop? You know when all this garbage we're seeing in our nation, all this junk we're seeing, you know when it's going to stop? When the sons of God start manifesting and start speaking and stopping the storms and stopping it, them and every, where they don't have any room here anymore. That's when it'll stop. This is Romans 8:19. For creation waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. For the creation was subject to frailty, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of Him who so subjected it, with the hope that nature itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. See, when we get busy, the sooner the Lord can come back and He can put death under our feet. For in hope we were saved, but hope which is seen is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. And here's our help as the sons of God. So too, the Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. This is how the sons of God are going to arise. We get the plan inside, then we speak the words. Inside, outside. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads on behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of His Son, that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. So God, He wants us to be like Jesus and do what Jesus did. Jesus put things in order. When He comes again, He's going to put it in order. God is with us and He has armed us to be victorious. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, this is how we get our marching orders. This is why, how we know what to do. We pray in the Spirit. I want to talk about the spirit of Jehu. When I brought up the word from that doctor, I forget his name, that said the Lord had raised up President Trump in the spirit of Jehu, and He was going to take out Jezebel, that Jezebel would collapse through the next term, 4 years. This is 2 Kings. We as the church have allowed separation of church and state. What did that do? It caused us to withdraw, go into our own little world, saw to our own little affairs, and had nothing to do with politics. If you are a 501c3, you are a nonprofit, you cannot be political, you can't have political views and political stand. I mean, it absolutely cut their nose off to spite their face, to where the church was in their own little zone. They were unaware of what was going on. They were not up with the signs of the times, or they're back in the past, doing their own little thing while the world was going to hell in a handbasket. The devil was running roughshod over everything. So have I caught us up? All right. There is no such thing in the Constitution, separation of church and state. And we're going to see in the day of Jehu, it took the king and the priest and the prophet, I think, to take out the Jezebel spirit. We've got to back the president. We are the power behind the president, the church. Okay, 2 Kings. And Elisha the prophet. This is 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Gird up your loins, take this flask of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive, look there for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat." Now we know about Jehoshaphat. He won a great battle. Well, really, the angels won it for him. If you go read over there, it's a pretty long passage about Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, "and go in and have him arise from among his brethren and lead him to an inner chamber. Then take the cruse of oil and pour it on his head and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee. Do not tarry." So the priest anointed the king. Doesn't sound like separation of church and state there, does it? So the young man, the young prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, now we see the prophet involved, the king involved. So the young man, the young prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, the captains of the army were sitting outside. And he said, "I have a message for you, O captain." Jehu said, "To which of us?" And he said, "To you, O captain." Jehu arose and they went into the house. And the prophet poured the oil on Jehu's head and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel." So you see the two offices working together. Even the Antichrist is going to have false prophet, Antichrist. Okay. "You shall strike them." I keep hearing some dings. Is it a phone somewhere? "You should strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets of all the servants of the Lord, at the hands of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel." So Ahab was wicked. He was married to Jezebel. She was a Baal worshiper. "I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and none shall bury her." And he opened the door and fled. When Jehu came out to the servants of his master, one said to him, "Is all well? Why did this mad fellow come to you?" And he said to them, "You know that class of man and what he would say." So, you know who the mad fellow was? As a prophet. And they said, "That is false. Tell us now." And he said, "Thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, I've anointed you king over Israel.' Then they hastily took every man his garment and put it under Jehu on top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, 'Jehu is king.'" Now this is such a parallel with our nation right now. Do you know our president is not really a legally elected president? He was selected. He was selected by the military. We haven't had a legitimate president since, 2000, I think it is. Well, I won't go into all of that today. But the point is, he was selected. And we've got a shadow president. Oh, Ahab. You know what I'm saying? All right, think about it. In line with what? The Jehu anointing and everything. Here Jehu's elected or anointed. God anointed our president to do the job he's called to do. And we got somebody overshadowing him that was in there and won't leave. Even though he's not technically president anymore, he's still. Everywhere he goes, he goes. Tries to undermine everywhere he goes. Spirit of Jezebel. So Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram was holding Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, "Is this in your mind? Let no one make his escape from the city, to go and tell it in Jezreel." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. They chose Donald Trump many years before he ever stepped up. This, from what I understand, this plan has been in the making for at least 20 years. Everything coordinating together. A watchman on the tower in Jezreel spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, "I see a company." And Joram said, "Send a horseman to meet them and have him ask, 'Do you come in peace?' So one on the horseback went to meet him and said, 'Thus says the king, is it peace?' And Jehu said, 'What have you to do with peace? Rein in behind me.' And the watchman reported, 'The messenger came to them, but he does not return.'" It's just like, you know, the left asking for the president's tax returns. They can look at those tax returns with a magnifying glass till they get nosebleeds, but they're never going to find anything because they've planned this out. This plan has been in motion all these years. There is nothing they can do. There's nothing. Nothing. He is clean as a whistle. Then Joram sent out a second man on horseback who came to them and said, "Thus says the king." See, this is all going on when the Ahab's still king. Jehu's anointed king. "Thus says the king, is it peace?" Jehu replied, "What have you to do with peace? Ride behind me." And the watchman reported, "He came to them, but does not return. Also the driving is like the driving of Jehu, son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously." Like sports chariots. Joram said, "Make ready." When his chariot was made ready, Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. Thus they went out to meet Jehu and met him in the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. The field of Naboth, isn't that the one that Jezebel killed? Didn't she kill Naboth to get the vineyard? When Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "How can peace exist as long as the fornications of your mother Jezebel, her witchcrafts, are so many?" Does it sound like today? Come on, y'all. Then Joram reined about and fled, and he said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah!" But Jehu drew his bow with his full strength and shot Joram between his shoulders, and the arrow went out through his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, "Take Joram up and cast him in the plot of Naboth the Jezreelite's field. For remember how when I and you rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord uttered this prophecy against him. As surely as I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, says the Lord, I will repay." So, Ahab wanted the vineyard. Jezebel had him murdered, but his blood cried out to the Lord. The prophecy was uttered that they'd pay for what they did. "Repay you on this plot of ground, says the Lord. Now therefore, take and cast Joram into the plot of ground of Naboth, as the word of the Lord said." When Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. Jehu followed him and said, "Smite him also in the chariot." And they did so at the ascent of Gur, which is by Iblam, and Ahaziah fled to Megiddo and died there. They sure did it a lot more simple there, didn't it? Wouldn't it be just as, I said, let's just all get in our chariots and just take off. I said, I'm ready for the militia and everybody just to storm Washington. Let's just all get our guns. Let's just all shoot them all dead. I'm serious. I'm as serious as I can be. Aren't you tired of putting up with their BS? Aren't you tired of them getting by with everything? Aren't you tired of even the right acting so namby-pamby and they've been intimidated so long that they won't do anything? Aren't you tired of it? I'm fed up with it. There'll be a time where this will happen if they don't start moving. If they don't start doing something. Because it's our constitutional right to do that absolute thing. In fact, we are told we're not much of a citizen if we don't rise up against the establishment, the wicked establishment, and overthrow it. Oh God, what am I saying today? I believe they're working the plan. I believe they'll do it. They want due process. They want to be able to get these criminals and get them good where they can't get off. I understand that. But there'll be a day. They'll have a certain day. So there's going to have to be some action. His servants took him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, son of Ahab, Ahaziah's reign over Judah began. Now when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and beautified her head and looked out of an upper window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Peace, you Zimri, who slew his master." Jehu lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three eunuchs looked out at him, and he said, "Throw her down." So he threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he drove over her. Touche. That's what I'm ready to see. I'm ready to see Jezebel thrown out that window. When he came in, he ate and drank and said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." They went to bury her, but they found nothing left of her except the skull and feet and palms of her hands, which was a prior prophecy. They came again and told Jehu. He said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite." Yeah. In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. The corpse of Jezebel shall be like dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, "This is Jezebel." Ahab had 70 grandsons in Samaria. So Jehu wrote letters and sent them from Jezreel to the rulers of Samaria, to the elders, and to those who brought up Ahab's grandsons, saying, "Now, as soon as this letter comes to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and also chariots and horses and fortified cities and weapons, select the best and most fit of your master's sons and set him on his father's throne and fight for your master's house." But they were exceedingly afraid and reasoned, "The two kings could not stand before Jehu. How then can we stand? And he who was over the household, he who was over the city, the elders also, and the guardians and tutors sent to Jehu, saying, 'We are your servants, and when we do all that you bid us, we will not make any man king. Do what is good in your eyes.'" So they're, instead of fighting, they're coming and they're bowing. I saw, I don't know if you saw the last Cyril Brain post, but it shows that when the president was at the G7, that Macron, France, that they were released from the cabal. And so he had a little meeting with Mr. Macron, who is deep state, and he will not be seeking re-election. So France and their Yellow Vest movement, they've been freed. And so they're looking for a new parliament and all kinds of things. See, things are happening all around the world. We're looking at Iran, probably next in line. The president is, these things are just happening. They're cementing to Jehu. Jezebel, they're throwing down, denying Jezebel. She's dead. We're no longer having allegiance to Jezebel. We're following you. You got the answers. Then Jehu wrote a second letter to them, saying, "If you are with me and will obey me, take the heads of your master's sons and come to me at Jezreel by tomorrow this time." Now the dead king's sons, 70 persons, were with great men of the city who were bringing them up. So they killed out the whole lineage. When the letter came to those men, they took the king's sons and slew them, 70 persons, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jehu at Jezreel. You know, I know it may seem hard. This is why we've got to have military tribunals and we've got to have death for some cases. It has to be. I believe it's biblical. When a messenger came and told him, "They have brought the heads of the king's sons," he said, "Lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the city gate until morning." The next morning he went out and stood and said to all the people, "You are just and innocent. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him. But who smote all these? Know now that nothing which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab shall be unfulfilled or ineffective, for the Lord has done what he said through his servant Elijah." So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel and all his great men, his familiar friends and his priests, until he left him none remaining. So he drained the swamp. And he arose and went to Samaria. And as he was at the shearing house of the shepherds on the way, Jehu met the kinsman of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are you?" They answered, "We are the kinsmen of Ahaziah. We came down to visit the royal princes and the sons of Jezebel, the queen mother." And he said, "Take them alive." And they did so and slew them at the cistern of the shearing house. 42 men. He left none of them. You better not be saying that name. Then when Jehu left there, he met Jehonadab, son of Rechab, coming to meet him. He saluted him and said to him, "Is your heart right as my heart is with yours?" Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." He gave him his hand, and Jehu took him up into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." I recently had the Lord impress upon me. I think it was yesterday morning. Pray that every traitor in the White House, in any of the branches of governments, whether it be Republican or whether it be Democrat, wherever it may be, military, I heard a deal about the Navy being pretty corrupt and the Air Force, they call it the Air Farce because it has become so corrupt. So all the traitors will be shown to be who they are. Whether everything that's been hidden in secret shall be shouted from the housetops, that everything will be out in the open. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made ride in Jehu's chariot. When Jehu came to Samaria, he slew all who remained of Ahab's family in Samaria till he had destroyed them all, according to what the Lord said to Elijah. Jehu assembled all the people and said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him much. So I called to me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshipers." Sounds like the president, doesn't it? The president's always got a strategy, and it seems like it's going one way, but he means it another way. "And all the priests, let none be missing, for I have a great sacrifice to make to Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live." But Jehu did it with trickery, intending to destroy the Baal worshipers. So he makes a big deal. "I'm going to have a big rally, and I want all the Baal worshipers here because we're going to have a big bash for Baal. We're going to do a big sacrifice for Baal." Jehu said, "Sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal," and they proclaimed it. Went out through all the fake news throughout the land. Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came. Not a man failed to come. They went to the house or temple of Baal, filling it from one end to the other. He said to the man over the vestry, "Bring vestments for all the worshipers of Baal," and he brought them vestments. Then Jehu, with Jehonadab, son of Rechab, went into the house of Baal and said to the worshipers of Baal, "Search and see that there are here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but Baal worshipers only." A meeting of the elites. And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men outside and said, "If any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he who lets him go shall forfeit his own life for his life." As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, Jehu said to the guards and to the officers, "Go in and slay them. Let none escape." And they smote them with the sword, and the guards or runners and the officers threw their bodyguards or their bodies out and went into the inner dwelling of the house of Baal. They brought out the pillars or obelisks of the house of Baal and burned them. That's another thing the Lord's had me speak. Every satanic, Luciferian, Illuminati, whatever, symbol, obelisk, I don't care what it is, in this land will crumble to the ground. They broke down the pillars of Baal and the house of Baal, made it a privy to this day. What's a privy? Bathroom. That's where they go to the bathroom. DC will be one big fat bathroom. Thus Jehu routed Baal out of Israel. But Jehu did not give up the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, by which he made Israel to sin, that is, the golden calves at Bethel and Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have executed well what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab as I willed, your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on Israel's throne. But Jehu paid no attention to walking in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not quit the sins with which Jeroboam made Israel to sin. Well, we're not going to talk about his faults there. But anyway, you see, God raised up a man that would get the job done. Now, I want to read chapter 11, because this is the clincher. When Athaliah, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal descendants. Now, she's a beauty, Jezebel's daughter. She was worse, really, than Jezebel. When her son died, she killed all her grandchildren. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the half-sister of Ahaziah, stole Joash, son of Ahaziah. This is the king of Judah that was killed, not king of Israel. From among the king's sons who were to be slain, even him and his nurse, and hid them from Athaliah in an inner storehouse for bed, so he was not slain. Joash was his nurse, hidden in the house of the Lord for 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada the priest, Jehosheba's husband, sent for the captains over hundreds of the Karaites and of the guards or runners, and brought them to him to the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. He commanded them, saying, this is the thing you shall do. A third of you who come in on the Sabbath shall keep watch of the king's house. A third shall be at the gate, sir, and a third at the gate behind the guard. So you shall keep watch of the palace and be a barrier. And two divisions of you should go off duty on the Sabbath, shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord to protect the king. You shall surround the little king, every man with his weapons in his hand, and let anyone who breaks through the ranks be put to death. You be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in. The captains over the hundreds did all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and they took every man his men. Hey, this priest was involved in politics. And they took every man his men who were to come on duty on the Sabbath with those who should go off duty on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. To the captains over hundreds, the priest gave the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, from the right corner to the left corner of the temple area, along by the altar and the temple proper. And Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. So they're crowning him king, and gave him the testimony. And they proclaimed him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, long live the king! Then Athaliah heard the noise of the guards and the people. She went into the house of the Lord to the people. When he looked, there stood the king by the pillar, as was customary, and the captains and the trumpeters beside the king, with all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets. And Athaliah went to her clothes and cried, treason, treason, or impeach, impeach. Isn't this what we've been hearing? In fact, they're planning to go next week and go on further with these impeachment hearings. And they have nothing. I'm telling you, these people are so crazy. They're devil crazy. They're probably thinking, why am I doing this? I can't help myself. Then Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds, set over the army, and said to them, take her forth outside the ranks, and him who follows her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. They seized her, and she went through the horse's entrance to the king's house, and there she was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. So you see the government, you see the church, they're all together. That's the way it's supposed to be. One band, one sound. Then all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and destroyed it. His altar and his images, they broke completely in pieces. And Matan, the priest of Baal, they slew before the altars. And Jehoiada the priest appointed watchmen to guard the house of the Lord. Then he took the rulers over hundreds, the captains and the guard and all the people of the land. They brought the king down from the house of the Lord and came by way of the guard's gate to the king's house. And Joash was seated on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. After Athaliah had been slain with a sword beside the king's house, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Our president has a similar anointing to take out the Jezebel spirit of our day, and we need, as his SWAT, his spiritual warrior attack teams, to be alert at all times to speak and send the angels to help him do this. It's time to get radical. And I believe as we get busy doing this, we will see more leaders and others rise in the natural and start taking back our land. They just need courage. They've been intimidated and backed into a corner so long. But what happens when you back somebody into a corner? They usually come out swinging. Okay. The devil and his minions have the conservative leaders so beat down and afraid, just like the church has become. Well, that day is over. No room. Aren't you tired of hearing from the left? No room for you here. Nothing but censorship. Well, get busy. Start with your body, your home, your job, your city, your state, your nation, your leaders, and on it goes. Don't let any negative report or statement get past you. Start there, and then as you start doing something, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you. There's this, you can't move a parked car, but you can correct a moving one. Push the devil out of everything and let him know that he is no longer welcome here. We serve God in the United States of America, not government. We serve God in the United States of America, and if we don't, and if you don't come here. And I will say of the Lord. Okay, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Psalms 91. Not much longer here. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him I trust. And then he goes on to talk about deliverance, protection, safety. That's what God wants. Psalms 45. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my psalm to a king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Let God put His words on your mouth, on your tongue. Brother Hagin wrote a mini book. It was called Write Your Own Ticket with God. Here's the four steps. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. Side note here, the deep state tactic is to blackmail. They frame good people and force them through blackmail to do their bidding. Businesses like Walmart, Walgreens, Kroger, we need to release them from this tyranny because they are being forced to do something, probably in most cases against their will. Let us use our mouths to bless and release them and not to curse. You know, we were talking about it yesterday, Walmart, you know, the witch is on their board, so... We can write our own ticket with God. We can have what we say regardless of what they say. Mark 11:22, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast to the sea and shall not down his heart, but believes that what he says, you believe what you say. It'll come to pass. Let's read a few Proverbs right quick. Proverbs 12:18. There are those who speak rashly like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Let our tongues heal our land. Proverbs 15:4. My people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 15, Mark 7 talks about it's not what goes into the man that hurts him. It's his thinking processes. It's what he thinks. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not what goes in, but what comes out. How did you come into the kingdom of God? Romans 10 talks about. You confessed with your mouth. You believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth. 1 Peter 3:10, if you want to love life and see good days, keep your mouth from speaking evil, from bringing forth guile. The sweetness of the lips adds learning. You know what? People respond to kindness, goodness. We are here to enforce the blessings, not the curse. This is how Abba Father did it. This is how Jesus did it. This is how we'll do it. God said. Hebrews 11:3 said, the worlds were formed by the word. This earth we see here, it's a byproduct of words. What we see is what we have said. When Jesus comes back, he's going to overcome and get it, all the rest of it done by the words of his mouth, the sword of the Spirit. Boy, this place is a mess. Let's get busy and help our president clean it up. All right, this won't take me very long. I guess we can just do this here. I wrote a partner letter yesterday, not to y'all, but to the ones that don't come here. It says, hey guys, you're awesome partners, and I would appreciate it if you would join with me by speaking change into our nation. I've enclosed a basic petition to get you started. I believe we are the power behind our president while he drains the swamp. I misspelled it. Let's help him out. Love you. You're the best. Pastor Carla. Okay. This is a basic petition that, it's got the front and the back. And I wasn't sure I made enough for everybody to have one. All right, then I did a supplement, and I want to read these supplement petitions, right? This supplement petition for American our leaders. This right here, these supplements, right now I have 51 things written down here, and there's more. I got another list started. As I have prayed this prayer petition, my tongue has become a pen of a ready writer. The Lord started moving the car, having me speak things. And so you can choose to speak these if you want. It'll give you a guideline. But also you may want to add. The Lord may give you things to speak. The first one, America is a Christian nation. America will never be a socialistic or communistic country. America is a sovereign nation, one nation under God. America is a safe haven for the Christian and the Jew. America will always stand with Israel. See, these are things the president said. We serve God in the United States of America, not government. We have returned to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In the United States of America, we have these rights: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, protection from unreasonable searches and seizures, protection of rights of life, liberty, and property. Law and order have returned to the United States of America. America supports the sanctity of life. Abortion has been outlawed in America. The LGBTQ .. has been abolished in America. Homosexual marriage has been abolished, outlawed in America. Obama has been declared an invalid president, and everything he put in motion to hurt America and its citizens has been voided. This includes two Supreme Court justice appointments. Obamacare, homosexual marriage, and transgender rights. America has reinstated the death penalty and military tribunals. Antifa has been declared a domestic terrorist group. The penalty for pedophilia in America is death. In America, witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, white magic, Satanism, Luciferianism, which is misspelled, is against the law. In America, we stand for the national anthem. We have no more fake news in America. The American classroom reads the Lord's Prayer, prays for our leaders, and says the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag before the class begins, as well as standing and pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. The Bible is the main textbook in public school education. The United States of America has broken ties with the United Nations. The United Nations has moved out of the United States of America. Good riddance. Goodbye. Leave right now. The United States of America has relocated its capital back to the beginning in New York at Ground Zero. The United States of America, Sunday has been given back to the church. The NFL has gone away and come again another day. No longer will Christian programmers be preempted for sporting events of any kind. For 24 hours every Sunday, all media outlets will provide free airtime for ministers to bring the truth of the gospel, free from commercials or appeals for money. In America, there are stacked courts throughout the land in God's favor. America is a sovereign nation, free from the New World Order. The wall is finished and paid for, and we no longer have an illegal alien problem in America. In America, it is Americans first. In America, sanctuary cities have been outlawed. We respect our military and law enforcement in America. Those who commit crimes and break the law in America will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Never again in America will illegal aliens be allowed to vote or receive citizens' benefits. We love and take care of our vets in America. In America, we have civil liberties. Landmarks, war memorials, etc. have been restored and replaced in America. The only aliens in America are legal aliens, and they are because they are self-sufficient and not a draw on the Republic. In other words, the president has... He's thinking about doing away with the birthright law, and also, if they come in, they'll be vetted because they're self-sufficient. They're not here to just get on welfare. We are all patriots. We are united, and we stand behind Donald J. Trump, our beloved president. Reparations for the president for the hell he and his family have been through. In America, traitors receive the death penalty. We have voter ID and no longer have any fraud in our voting process. Child and human trafficking, opioid drug pushers receive the death penalty. Mass murderers receive the death penalty. Cannibalism is outlawed in America and the death penalty. Organ harvesting outlawed and its penalty is death. The punishment fits the crime. Planned Parenthood has been outlawed in America. Mandatory vaccines have been outlawed. Full disclosure for Americans. What has been done in secret should be shouted from the housetops. Haman has been hung on the gallows. The trap they set for us, they have fallen into it themselves. So, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. So, anyway, here is the supplement if you want it. Some of the stuff I noticed was misspelled. Sorry. Do you want it? Okay. At least it'll give you a guideline, and you can let the Lord lead you on how you speak. Okay, that's going to be all for today.